being in love with a statue. A sexy, handsome, chiseled statue of a Korean Eric from The Little Mermaid. It's just too perfect, you know? Like, I never felt like I could be myself around him. So yeah, I'm gonna die all alone in a big house, all by myself, in complete, utter, and deafening silence. I can feel it, Marcus.
There, there.
There, there? That's all you got?
Well, I had more at the beginning of your speech, and then I forgot it by the end.
That clip you just heard comes from Always Be My Maybe, a new movie released by Netflix last week starring Ali Wong and Randall Park. And it's a typical rom-com in many ways, the story of childhood friends falling in and out and in and out of love. But the film focuses on an Asian-American love story that moves far beyond stereotypes to create funny, fleshed-out characters. And that is notable, as mainstream comedy has historically kept Asian and Asian-American characters at the margins. Caroline Keung Ah Hong is an associate professor of English at Queens College CUNY, and she's currently working on a book about Asian American comedy. Caroline, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, Tanzina. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Always Be My Maybe, I will say, full disclosure, I thought it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's resonating with audience and particularly Asian American viewers?
You know, I think folks are just hungry for things that are fun and pleasurable, enjoyable, that feature folks that look like us. And it's not a big deal, but there are experiences and stories and details that are just really specific and grounded in our experiences as Asian Americans. And that is, you know, unfortunately, still kind of remarkable.
And one of the things that we sort of talked about Crazy Rich Asians, and that was mm-hmm. a big blockbuster, and now we have Always Be My Maybe. But what struck out to me was that Always Be My Maybe is really about the Asian American experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a really long history of a kind of complicated relationship that Asian Americans have had in comedy and humor, as you suggest. And this is, I think, just a more recent example of how Asian Americans are kind of negotiating that on their own terms. And that's really exciting to see.
We mentioned Ali Wong, and we heard a clip at the top of Always Be My Maybe, and she stars in the film, and she also co-wrote the film.
Right.
Ali Wong has done tons of stand-up comedy. She's done it while notably pregnant.
People praise my husband for coming to all of my doctor's appointments with me. Oh my God, I can't believe he comes to all your doctor's appointments. He is so supportive. Guess who else has to go to those doctor appointments? Me! I'm the star of the show. There's nothing for the camera to see if I'm not there. But he's the hero for playing Candy Crush while I get my blood drawn. Meanwhile, if I do mushrooms 7 months pregnant, I'm a bad mommy.
Tell us a little bit about how she subverts certain stereotypes in her work.
Yeah, I think she's been really smart in her comedy. It's, you know, she's sort of raunchy. She talks a lot about sex. She talks a lot about things that maybe fly in the face of racial and gender expectations people have for Asian American women. And so I think a lot of folks find her comedy really refreshing for that, because she's kind of bucking those stereotypes, going against those expectations. And she's doing in a way that does feel kind of fresh and free.
And I'm wondering if you could dig a little more into that. Like, what are some of the stereotypes that she's trying to subvert here? Because we know that in the 1980s, a lot of the films that I grew up watching
right.
had Asian actors as side characters, but a lot of these roles were really, really offensive. And I'm thinking of things like Indiana Jones and on. Could you tell us a little bit more about the stereotyping of Asians and Asian American roles up to this point?
Absolutely. And, you know, I would say this history stretches, you know, at least as far back as the 19th century, way before even the 1980s. But those stereotypes that we see, you know, even today, have these roots in this kind of long immigration history and the way that immigration has been excluded, restricted, et cetera. And so, you know, the primary stereotypes about Asians in the U.S. is that, you know, that we're foreign, that we're alien, and that kind of perpetual foreigner stereotype works often in concert with this model minority stereotype, right? And so you do in the 80s see all these comic nerd characters in mainstream comedy. So as you mentioned, Short Round in Indiana Jones, Data in Goonies, of course, Long Duk Dong in 16 Candles, you have Apu on The Simpsons. So there's just a litany of these kinds of characters that are obviously there to be made fun of for being different, for being strange, and that has long, long roots in U.S. cultural history. And so part of what I find so exciting about a lot of Asian American comedy now is that it's not even really concerned about combating those stereotypes, right? Whereas I think a lot of late 20th century Asian American comedy was really intentional in thinking about what are those stereotypes and how can we sort of challenge and counter them. And a lot of the comedy we see now is actually people just being funny on their own terms, telling their really specific, grounded stories, a lot of stories that we haven't heard before in the mainstream. And that is really what's exciting. It's not being sort of pigeonholed or restricted or bounded by these earlier kinds of stereotypes.
I want to play some tape here from Filipino-American comedian Joe Coy from his 2017 Netflix special.
She never took us to the doctor. My mom never took us to the doctor. My mom raised us like we were still in the Philippines. She tried to cure everything at home, like a real Filipino woman. You had to die to go to the hospital.
Caroline, I'm thinking there's a lot of self-deprecating humor, a second generation pointing out first generation. I think even back in, when we think about Ali Wong, she talks a lot about intra-Asian American issues, right?
Absolutely.
And Hari Kondabolu, who talks a lot about colonialism. Like, what do these examples tell us about the evolution of Asian American narratives in American comedy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, what I've already suggested, which is that there's such a broader spectrum of what can be sort of covered and engaged under the umbrella of Asian American comedy. And not all of it is perfect or unproblematic, but that just the sheer fact that we have this range so that we can have sort of anti-imperialist critiques. We can have someone like Aparna Nancherla talking about mental health and depression and anxiety. We can have folks doing all different kinds of work under the umbrella of Asian American comedy, and that we're not sort of stuck in this kind of oppositional role of just saying like, well, this is the stereotype and I'm not like that and let me show that. Even things like, you know, Joe Coy's been around for a long time and I think he actually has a new special coming out this summer, maybe later this month. And a lot of younger kind of up and coming Asian American comedians, you know, they're not even really talking about that intergenerational stuff that is so overdetermined in Asian American and immigrant stories, that a lot of them are talking about other kinds of experiences.
In sort of talking about moving past comedy that's really based in bucking stereotypes and bucking the trend, mm-hmm. where do you see work that still needs to be done in terms of advancing Asian American representation in comedy?
It really depends on what sector of pop culture we're talking about. But I do think in terms of representation, a lot of mainstream Asian American comedy is still dominated by straight men and East Asians. And I would love to see more that centers the experiences of Southeast Asians, South Asians, women, queer folks, disabled folks, etc. But for me, I'm actually not really picky. Part of what I'm looking for is just more narrative plenitude, as Viet Nguyen says. You know, the more Asian American comedy we have, the lower the stakes, the less pressure there is on any one thing or person to kind of be everything or to be perfect. So, you know, I think that for me is really the goal. I don't love seeing folks who pit kind of Asian American comedy or comedians against each other, which one's better, ranking them. Part of what I'm looking for is to just see more across the board in every cultural arena, in every form, every medium.
Caroline Kyung Hong is an associate professor of English at Queens College at CUNY, and she's currently working on a book about Asian American comedy. Caroline, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today. It's been great broadcasting out of KUER studios here in Salt Lake City. We're headed back to New York after this, but thanks so much for listening. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.